Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening.
Here we go. Leigh Montavant is a sex coach and clinical sexologist, as well as a writer, presenter, and educator. She specializes in working with and is strongly connected to the LGBTQIA+, kink, and non-monogamous communities. Leigh offers sex and relationship coaching to individuals in the Los Angeles area and via Skype from anywhere in the world. She writes a twice-monthly column, Ask Sex Coach Leigh, for the Take Back Your Sex blog. She also hosts and facilitates a monthly women's genderqueer, non-binary, polyamory discussion group. Leigh believes that a healthy sexuality is key to a happy life, and she deeply values body positivity, sex positivity, comprehensive sex education, intersectional feminism, and social justice. Welcome, Leigh Montavant.
Thank you. Yay! And I'm so sorry you had to read that three times, but you did a wonderful job.
No, but you know what's funny? I kind of have some of it memorized now, which is great. I really, really know what you do.
There you go.
That's so great. So, okay, so going back to the book. So Leigh's quote is on page 39 of the Consent Guidebook. It's backwards. I know it is. I didn't flip it, but you get the gist. Here it is. Yay! So let me read Leigh's quote, and then we'll jump into the discussion. It's such a great quote, and thanks again for contributing, Leigh. Like, seriously. So great. So great. So this is Leigh's fabulous quote. Remember the enthusiastic part of enthusiastic consent. This is paramount when giving or receiving consent. While every yes does not have to come with its own parade, it does have to come with a place from a place of interest, excitement, and joyful curiosity. If one partner feels indifferent about a sexual experience or agrees to go along out of a sense of guilt or obligation, that person is not giving their full consent. Enthusiastic consent requires actively making a choice rather than resigning yourself to one. So important. So many things. I mean, I have so many great thoughts about that. Like, enthusiastic consent is the new normal. That's chapter 4 of the book.
And yeah. So
this quote, I was like, I know where this is going. So great. So why did you want, I think I kind of have an idea of why you wanted to contribute to the book, but what about what this book is? What made you want to consent something to the book?
Sure. With what I do as a sex coach, consent is the bare minimum of all sexual encounters. So when we're talking about sex or relationships, I think you really, no matter who you're talking to or what you're talking about, that's the very first step. I always tell people that I really think that any sexual interaction between people is okay and valid and awesome and normal as long as it's between consenting adults. So step one.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really the basics. Like, just be into the things you're into and find other people who are into those things and then negotiate so you know exactly what you're getting into. I think there are nuances to different scenarios and things, but that is the basis of it. The basis is, you know, are you doing something with someone who doesn't want to be doing that with you? Like, if that's the thing, then don't do that. So let's jump ahead. Consent is a new concept for a lot of people. So why do you think it's still a little bit hard for some to grasp this idea of consent?
I think most people know the yes means yes and no means no part of consent, right? I think that's something that we do learn when we're younger, that, you know, if someone says no, then sure, we got it. Like, people know they're doing something wrong if someone has said no. The problem is, and I think where a lot of people get caught up, is we're making this a more nuanced conversation. We don't have such a limited view of consent, which is awesome and amazing. But for folks who have only come from a place of yes means yes and no means no, when they're starting to hear stories about these situations that feel like gray areas to them, I think the problem is people identify and they think, oh no, have I been in that situation? Was I not fully consenting? Did I violate someone else's consent and not mean to? And I think that's where people get more resistant to the idea because no one wants to identify with a person who's done something wrong. I think that makes it hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that it's an interesting place to be in to think, oh my gosh, I might have pushed somebody's boundaries at some point.
Totally.
But it's a really important thing because, I mean, I was with another one of my contributors and I were talking last week about the idea that someone you really like can push your boundaries and it might not be a breaker. And that's where, like, there's all these different areas of, like Weinstein to, you know, someone hugging you without consent.
Yes.
Hugs could be a big deal, mm-hmm. a really, really big deal, but just on the scale of egregious to, you know, all kind of like innocent pushing of boundaries, whatever that means, there are these nuances. And again, especially if you're getting into like sexual dating, intimate interactions, there's times when you really like somebody and it's like, well, this person is not the worst person, but I didn't feel comfortable. How do I bring it up? Or I could tell that person wasn't totally into it, but I pushed them a little bit and now I feel bad, but I don't think I'm a bad person. So there's like all of these things. I
yes.
feel like there's no shame attached to all this as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, yeah, and when we hear the Weinstein stuff, people are like, oh my God, I'm not like that. And like very few people are, thankfully. But that doesn't mean that there still aren't ways that, yeah, that you can maybe violate someone's boundaries and then talk to them about it and still be okay.
Yeah, and learn from it and say, oh, well, this thing happened that time, like, I could tell that maybe I wasn't sure you were totally comfortable because, again, you weren't enthusiastic necessarily about it. But so going forward, what would you feel enthusiastic about going forward?
Right.
You know, asking questions like that are really great. Or what would, you know, what's something that you really, really would be, like, interested in exploring? Something like that is a great question to ask.
Yes.
This, which actually jumps into another great question. Do you have an example of a fun way to integrate consent into our daily lives or intimate lives with partners?
The basic thing I would say is to bring back just asking for things and making asking fun and sexy again. You know, I think the biggest fear a lot of
make it fun and sexy again. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, I think the biggest fear is that, you know, that people think that asking means you're taking excitement or sexiness or, like, joy out of a situation, you know, that you're giving someone a contract that they need to sign before you can hold their hand, you know, but that's not at all what's going on. But if you just ask people, even if you know that someone wants to kiss you and you can tell and the body language is there, I don't know anybody who doesn't feel awesome when someone just looks at them and says, can I kiss you? You know?
Yeah.
And I think yeah. if we include that from the start, then that just becomes a given in further, more intimate situations.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I know a lot of people, I've been in workshops with people in the audience who have said, you know, I don't think it's fun or sexy if someone mm-hmm. asks permission to do this thing like right before. So that's when nuances come in and maybe there can be a conversation beforehand. So even it doesn't exempt because it's, you know, as you know, obviously a certified coach, you know, consent is evolving and it's a process. It can change, but I do feel like as long as there's some sort of conversation before, it's a good starting point. So then you're not just jumping in like, let's jump in at the craziest of crazy requests, but not ask the request and just hope for the best. Like,
right.
Let's have a general conversation beforehand so we kind of get a feel for what someone might be interested in, and then we can adjust from there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, just because I think we need to introduce asking early on does not mean that you need to ask out loud and get verbal, specific consent for every activity you do with a person for the rest of your life. You know, there does become in relationships things like implied consent, but that comes with a lot of communication. That's not
right.
a thing that you can
that's
start with.
I definitely like put that in the first book because that goes beyond my expertise. And that's, you know, again, one reason why I wanted other people in this book to contribute, other professionals to contribute, because I don't have all the answers. You know, none of us have all of the answers. you know? And so if I can bring in a bunch of different perspectives that kind of all do feel similar, you know, there's a through line that someone can get out of reading a book. Let's jump ahead. I get a little long-winded with these. Do you think that setting your own clear boundaries is a part of consent conversation, or is that a separate issue?
I do think it's part of the conversation. I think where it differs is that we can't say that if someone didn't set their boundaries clear enough, that somehow, you know, that they deserve to have their boundaries violated or consent violated. Obviously, I think we all would agree to that. But I still think it's part of the conversation, because I think a lot of us, and especially women, but this is for anyone, come from a place of people-pleasing and a sort of fear of speaking out about not just what we don't like, but what we do like. And so yeah. I think practicing really asking for what you want and saying no without feeling guilty or without worrying about how the other person's going to react, I think that's a good practice that really fits into the whole consent conversation.
Absolutely. Practicing no is huge. Practicing yes is huge.
Yeah.
Because there's a catch to yes in some ways. But yeah, especially no, though. You're absolutely right. For whatever reason, there's a people-pleasing aspect. There's this, I want this, I guess, yeah, all that is wrapped up in, I want this person to like me.
Yeah.
I don't want to seem like I'm this way or that way or be judged. And, you know, we need to get over that. And you're right, I think that is a female presenting or specific of female trait. And I think we need to get over it. I mean, I've said this before, you know, but I was raised by some very strong women who I'm very grateful that I was, because I was taught, whoever it is, even if you like them or whatever, get the F out of there if it's crazy, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't matter if you don't look cute or you're not being a good girl, get out, you know? And not everyone learns that. And so, I think you're right. I think it is a big part of this conversation, you know? Again, it's not saying that anyone's, because they did something wrong, they deserve this thing to happen to them at all. It doesn't mean that. It just means that it's an important part of knowing one's boundaries that could avoid some conflict, some, potentially.
Yeah.
And that makes us feel more comfortable if we are clear about what our boundaries are and have a conversation with ourselves to know what we're interested in and maybe not interested in. You know?
Well, yeah, because it's hard to give that enthusiastic consent about the things you're really into if you're not sure what you're really into. And so,
the perfect statement right there. How can you, you didn't say it like this, but how can you be enthusiastic about something you don't even know you're enthusiastic about or you're agreeing to? It's so true.
Yeah.
Geniusly. So we're running out of time, of course, because there's never enough time for this. But what's a final message about consent that you'd like to leave the viewers with? Is there a final message? You've said so many great nuggets. You've left us with so many nuggets of greatness, but is there any one last final thought?
Well, yeah, just to follow up on the boundaries idea is, I think it's really important for people to know that you don't need to earn your boundaries. Mm. Like, I think I'll hear people say things like, oh, well, you know, I've also done something wrong, or maybe I wasn't being that nice in the way that I said it, or, but they've been so nice to me, and they didn't mean it, they didn't do anything wrong. You don't have to be a perfect person to have the boundaries that you have, and to set those boundaries and stick to them.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, you know, just because maybe there was a certain interaction with someone one time doesn't mean that every time you meet that person that you are expected to have that same interaction. Or maybe there's an expectation, it doesn't mean you have to follow through on that same interaction with that person.
Oh,
every
absolutely.
Time. And I think that's another weird, shamey, people-pleasing thing that happens sometimes. Like, well, I did this thing with them once. I had sex with them once, or I kissed them once. So, yeah, I feel bad saying no now. Or there's an assumption that, well, we kissed once, so we should be kissing again. Why aren't we kissing again?
Right.
Like, everyone's different. Like, I want pizza today. I might not want pizza tomorrow, dang
it. Exactly.
Oh my gosh, Lee. Okay, so please tell everyone where they can find you on all the social medias and websites and things.
Okay, it's easy. I'm pretty much under Sex Coach Lee everywhere. So you can find me at Sex Coach Lee on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook. And then my website is sexcoachlee.com.
And it's L-E-I-G-H.
L-E-I-G-H, yes.